What a blessing our children, our youth, our choir was to us this morning, right? Yeah. I want to thank all of you who worked so hard to make that delightful telling of the gospel story possible for us to enjoy together today. And you know that part of the invitation of Advent and Christmas is to, as our choir so beautifully sang, to behold the Lamb of God. It's part of the wonder, right, of this season. God's love, expressed so simply, given so generously, so profoundly, in the birth of His one and only Son, the baby Jesus. The one that John the Baptist said is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so it is when we come to this time of year, we rightly marvel at God's extravagant love, that He would give the life of His beloved Son so that each one of us could have all of our sins forgiven, and each one of us be restored to a right relationship with God. So for every follower of Jesus, Christmas has this powerful and this profoundly personal meaning. But as significant as the title, the Lamb of God, is for our Lord, another title that we associate with Jesus is Servant of the Lord. Now, this title for Him comes from several passages that are found in the book of Isaiah, where the character and the ministry of the servant of the Lord is described. And in the gospel reading for today, the one from Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is identified as the servant of the Lord that was spoken of in Isaiah 42. And you heard in the reading of Isaiah 42 this description of the Lord's servant. It is both rich and it is varied. The servant is the one who is upheld and chosen by God. The servant is the one in whom God delights. The servant is the one who has God's Spirit on him. The servant is the one to bring justice to the nations. The servant is the one whose teachings are eagerly awaited to the ends of the earth. And the servant is God's promise kept. The servant is a living covenant for the people. The servant opens the eyes of the blind. He frees the prisoners out of their dungeons and their darknesses. And He is a light to all the nations. So as we begin this third week of Advent, I think we can all agree that there is still a lot of darkness in our world. And that darkness is defined by the opposite of what the servant of the Lord brings. For darkness resides in spiritual blindness. Darkness resides in all manner of enslavement. Darkness has a home in that place where those folks disregard the truth of God. Darkness resides in injustice and an unwillingness to tend to the brokenhearted and the bruised. With all the darkness in the world around us, we can understand why many would find it hard to rejoice in this season. And some would find it sadly fitting that this week, the last full week before Christmas, is the darkest week of the year for those of us living north of the equator. But you know, there's a reason Jesus was born at night. And there's a reason the church has come to celebrate the birth of Jesus at the darkest time of the year, again, for those of us who are north of the equator. A friend of mine, a covenant pastor by the name of Rick Mylander, thinks there is an important connection, spiritual connection, between when we celebrate Jesus' birth and the reason why Jesus came. Now, Rick wrote about this in a piece entitled Winter Solstice and the Promised Light. It's the selected reading, by the way, in your Covenant Advent devotional for this Friday, December 21st, appropriately on the day of the winter solstice. But I want to read it for you now. Our winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere occurs on December 21st. Starting this very day, daylight begins to lengthen. This will continue for 6 months until the summer solstice in June, our long plod toward winter. It's curious to me that the first day of winter is also the first day of winter's demise. One might think winter's opening day would portend more of the same, nothing but cold, dark barrenness. After all, we don't call it the dead of winter for nothing. But there it is, the illuminating contradiction. Just as we brace for winter's chill, we start receiving more light. Lengthening sunshine mocks winter, scoffs at the cold, derides the bleakness, and each day thereafter, the sun rises a little earlier and sets just a little later. Winter anticipates spring. Death foresees life. Darkness predestines light. And cold envisions warmth. These are the paradoxes of the seasonal change we call the winter solstice. So it's no coincidence that the early church chose to recognize the solstice as the most appropriate time to celebrate the birth of Christ. In actual fact, Jesus' birth likely took place sometime in October. But no. Beautiful as autumn can be, it just won't do. To celebrate something as significant as the incarnation, a time is needed that belies its context, that refutes the cold night in the midst of the bleak midwinter. Solstice. Now that's an appropriate time to celebrate the light of the world. And so we do. We know there is no life without light. Light begets being. And the same is true in the spirit world. John put it this way, "In him was life, and that light, life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Light dispels darkness, not the other way around. Open a door into a dark closet, and what happens? Does the darkness come creeping into the room in which you stand? No. No, the opposite holds and always will. Light supersedes darkness. Solstice is here. So let us celebrate the light. Let's proclaim Charles Wesley's Christmas truth. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Or, as Bing Crosby sang, the child sleeping in the night, He will bring us goodness and light. Either way, let there be light. Thanks be to God. Amen.